Later on. My first scripture is James 1, verse 27. My sermon is called Unspotted. I think you've seen that. I still got the old version of the slides. Lishan wasn't happy with me when I gave her the old version of the slides. Apparently it's like 2009 or something. But bear with me. Okay, James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And what I want to focus on is, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hence my name, the name of the sermon, Unspotted. There's two aspects to this scripture. It's to visit the fatherless and the widows in the affliction, part one. And I think that is also necessary. It's real, like with our Love the City that David organized. We went to the oldest home. We went to a place with Adam, with the orphan children. And it was a blessing, man. I really feel the Lord laid it on our hearts to do that. And I think we're definitely going to do it this year again. But what I want to focus on tonight is the second part. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, what does unspotted mean? The Greek word is philos. It means unblemished physically or morally, without spot, unspotted. And what it basically refers to is just our conduct. How do we conduct ourselves? Is it unspotted or is it spotted? Okay. Usually, you can see a Christian from a mile away. I just want to say a quick story. Like when me and Cornell was at, we went on holidays, and we were at Somerset Mall there one day, and as we got out of the car, there was a car guard standing there, and we started talking to him, and immediately I knew he was a Christian. Immediately. It's like the Bible says, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And you can see this man is a Christian. And it's like, why can I see that this man is a Christian? We haven't even spoken two words to him, but I can see he's a Christian. I can see it in his eyes. I can just see the way he conducts himself. And I knew this man is unspotted from the world. Okay. And it was wonderful to see that. It's awesome. It's an awesome testimony to the people around you. If people can see that you're a Christian just by your conduct. So what I want to go into is, how do we conduct ourselves? But first I'm going to read the scripture as well. James 4 verse 2. It says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures, adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And that's quite our scripture. If you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Not only neutral on the draught or grain. You are an enemy of God if you are friends with the world. And that's what unspotted refers to. Is, are you friends with the world or not? Are you half-footed in or are you all in? Because unfortunately with Christianity it works like this. It's all in or nothing. The Lord says if you are, what is low bottom in English? Lukewarm. If you are lukewarm, he'll spit you out. And that's what this is referring to. That's what my scripture is going about. Unspotted from the world. Okay. Hence the question, how do we conduct ourselves? Does your life testify that you're a Christian? And I want to go to the topic, conduct. Ephesians 5 verse 17 to 21, it says, therefore, and this is how we ought to conduct ourselves. And this is basically the base scripture of my sermon for tonight. Ephesians 5, 17 says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Underline that, because it's important. Okay. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, I prefer if some people don't do that to me, because it would hurt my ears today. Our people will sing psalms and, in any case, singing and making melody in the heart of the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And the two things that stood out for me is, firstly, understand what the will of the Lord is. And secondly, give thanks always for all things. Not only for some things, all things. When? Always. Always give thanks. Okay, you can go to the next slide. In case you didn't get that, point one, understand the will of the Lord. And secondly, giving thanks for all things. Okay. Let's go a bit deeper into understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? And I divided it into two parts. First part is keeping His commandments. And that's for all of us. The will of the Lord is to keep His commandments. Okay, James 1 John 2 verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Okay, and it's also that scripture that says, how can a bad tree bear good fruit, or a good tree bear bad fruit? Only a good tree can bear good fruit. So if you are a good tree, if you are keeping His commandments, people will see it by the fruit that's in your life. And that will be a testimony to the people around you. Okay. And it goes on to say, so he says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. It's quite harsh words again. I didn't realize the sermon is as harsh when I wrote it. It comes across a bit more harsh than I imagined it. But in any case, this is scriptural. Okay. And also John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what the Bible says. I like Kent Hovind's version of the Bible. He says, the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. And I quite like that, basic instructions before leaving earth. And secondly, understand what the will of the Lord is. It's individual callings. And in brackets I said obedience. Because the will of the Lord, firstly, is to keep His commandments. That's for all of us. But all of us have a different calling. Just want to go into the scriptures. In Matthew 7 verse 21 it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the important part. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. And the Lord has a different will for every one of us. He has a calling on your life. Okay. And I put the rest of the scripture in there just because I like it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Okay. So God has a different calling for each and every one of us. Just another thing I want you to notice is the guy that built his house on the rock, it's not that the wind and the rain didn't come. It came for the guy who built his house on the rock and the guy who built his house on the sand as well. The same tribulations, the same hardships came for both of them. But the ones did, because the one's foundation was correct and it was right. Okay, so do. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, as I said, all of us have a calling. There's a reason why you're in Sekula. There's a reason why you are working at Sasa. There's a reason why you're working where you're working. And there's a reason for you being here. And you must find out what that reason is. If you are just here and you think, oh man, let's just work for the week, and every weekend I'll just go home, or wherever, Pretoria, or wherever, you're missing it. Because that's not the Lord's will for you. That's not why the Lord has placed you here. He hasn't placed you here just to earn money and go away every weekend. He's placed you here to make a change. He's placed you here to invest in people's lives. Amen. I always say, but don't quote me on this, because it's not biblical. But I always say, if you don't know what your calling is, help other people achieve their callings. Okay. It's a good place to start. If someone does know where he's going, help him get there. While you are trying to find out what your calling is. And secondly, giving thanks for all things. It's the second part of that scripture that I read. And I divided that into four parts. It's where, who, what, and when. I wanted to use the W's. Okay. So I brought it in there. Okay. Firstly, giving thanks. Where? And Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, everyone knows that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So as I just said, this is where the Lord placed you. Be thankful for it. Giving thanks for all things. Giving thanks to the Lord that He has placed you in Sekula. Giving thanks and praying to the Lord that He has placed you at Sasa or wherever He has placed you. And this is the key to a great 2013. This is what I believe the Lord wants to drive home today. I truly believe that the Lord wants us to go into 2013 with a thankful heart. And this, if you forget everything else, remember this. Give thanks for all things, always. If you have a thankful heart for where the Lord has placed you, man, this year is going to be a breeze. It's going to be an absolute breeze. And it's going to change your worship life as well. If you come into this place of worship and you come here with a thankful heart, there's nothing you can do but to worship the Lord because you are thankful. You're thankful for where the Lord has placed you. Secondly, who? Be thankful for all the people God has placed in your life. Proverbs 18 verse 1, it says, and it's the first, while I was preparing for the sermon, it's the first time I read it, it's quite awesome. Proverbs 18 verse 1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. That's quite profound. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. That's why I say, the Lord has placed people in your life for a reason. And be thankful for those people. I know some of the people irritate you. And they irritate me as well. But we should rejoice in it. We should seek the Lord's heart. And also another thing I just want to share with you. I've said it before, but a friend of ours in Stellenbosch, he told me once that a friend of his were going out with a guy that he didn't like. And the Lord told him he should start praying for that guy that this girl has started going out with. And he said he didn't want to pray for that guy because he knew if he's going to start praying for that guy, he's going to start liking him because he's going to see the Lord's heart for that person. I think that's amazing. If there's people you don't like, but the Lord is blessing in your life, pray for them. And I promise you, the Lord will change your heart towards those people. You're going to see that person through the Lord's eyes. And secondly, I believe there's two reasons why the Lord puts people in our lives. Either it's to invest into those people's lives, or it's to receive something from them, or both. Okay. So, be aware of the people that the Lord has placed in your life. Be aware of the people that the Lord wants you to invest into, share with, testify with. And also be humble enough to receive from those people that the Lord wants you to receive from. Okay. And also, what I also want to say, just is celebrate people, man. Celebrate people. Why? You know, people bash other people so that they can esteem themselves. Why? It's useless, man. And you also don't like yourself afterwards. But if you praise someone, if you celebrate someone, man, it feels great. That person feels great and you feel great. Amen? Okay. Thirdly, what? Be thankful for what the Lord has given you. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Amen? Yes, we short nothing in our lives. Who here doesn't have a roof over their head? Okay, everyone has got clothes, I can see that. Awesome. And the Bible says, if you have a roof over your head and clothes on your back, with these you will be content. Amen? We short nothing. Everyone looks well fed to me as well. And that's just a bonus. Okay. I think it's awesome to invest in people. And to... God, just to... Oh my goodness, I'm going back to my previous point now. Sorry about that. With what now? But God, be thankful for what the Lord has given you. And I was a moaner, man. I could moan all day long. And you know, when the Lord has started rebuking me about that, it's just like my eyes start opening for all the blessings in my life, all the things the Lord has given me. The where, what, who, all of that. And my eyes are open, and the Lord has changed a moaning heart into a grateful and a thankful heart. And I truly believe that's what the Lord wants to come and do. Do this here in our lives. If you can be thankful for everything the Lord has given you, the people He has placed around you, and the place where He has put you, if you can be thankful for that, there's no way you can come into that door and not want to worship. Amen. And if your eyes open and you see all the goodness in your life, man, your year is going to be awesome. I promise you. That's a key that I want to drive home today. And just another thing I want to touch on concerning what? It's steward what the Lord has given you. Matthew 25 verse 21, it says, and this is a parable that the Lord, that Jesus spoke, and it says, His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I think that's profound. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So, you know, if you're still wondering, man, should I pay tithe or what? It's a no-brainer. Pay your tithe. It's stewarding what the Lord has given you. Okay. And then, fourth, when? Just going to recap on that scripture. Ephesians 5:20, it said, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I know it's a short sermon tonight, but I want to keep it short because I want to drive home this point with you tonight. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful where the Lord has placed you. He has placed you in Secunda. If you are in Secunda, the Lord has placed you here. He has put these people in your life. And He has placed you at Sasa if that's where you're working, or wherever you're working. That's where the Lord has placed you. So be thankful for it, because it's all from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift is from the Lord. And I wanted to touch on something else quickly. Just going back to individual callings and what the will of the Lord is and all that. Quiet time, guys. Quiet time is where all these things get birthed. Trying to change yourself is not going to happen. You have to spend time with the Lord. You have to spend time with the Lord. And you have to be humble enough for the Lord to come and show you, listen. Game on, Mickey. Okay. Be humble enough to receive that from the Lord or in the council of Christians. Okay. I like what Estelle said once. Estelle prepared a short message. Estelle Mills. A short message when you were visiting the backpack students there. And she said, concerning quiet time now, it's, oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. But it says, early I will seek you. And I am a false believer, and don't quote me on this, but I truly believe you should do your quiet time in the morning. Because at the evening it's like, no, let's go for a jog, or don't have time, got this activity, or running, or pray, or whatever. Make a date with the Lord. Almost. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and that's my sermon. And I truly hope that that I've spoken to your heart, that the Lord has touched you today, and that you'll open your ears to hear this message, because this could be a terrible year for you, away from your friends, away from your parents, away from your family, away from your university or whatever. Or this can be an awesome, awesome year, which the Lord wants to bless you. But if you don't want to receive a blessing, you won't get that blessing. Okay, and just also another thing I just want to touch on again is the people that the Lord has placed in your life is placed there for a reason, and this is also something you don't, but shouldn't keep quote me on, but I'm going to say it in any case. The Lord takes us through seasons, and when one season ends, a new season begins. And I think for a lot of us, this is a new season. Everything changed. Your friends changed. The people you surround yourself with changed. The place we are working at changed. Everything changed, and it's a new season. And personally, that's why I don't like Facebook. You can kill me afterwards. But my problem with Facebook, and don't feel condemned, I also have a Facebook account, okay? So don't feel condemned. But my problem with something like that is the Lord places someone, specific people in your life, in a specific season. But with something like Facebook, you are still connected to all the old people. You are still hanging on to that past. It's like a drag, you know? And the Lord wants you to focus on these core people that He has placed in your life here and now. But we are keeping holding back onto the past, keeping wanting to, yeah, but yes, how are you now? And yeah, I should come and see you. Well, actually, you should go and see someone that the Lord has placed in your life right now. And that's my personal conviction, is that embrace the season that the Lord has placed you in. Leave the old season behind. It's old. Okay, it's past. But embrace and be grateful and rejoice over that new season, this new season that the Lord has placed you in. Amen. And relating back to worship again, I promise you, if you get that right, your worship, or it would be easy to worship the Lord. It would be absolutely easy to worship the Lord if you have a grateful heart, grateful for everything. And that's what the Lord came and changed in our lives. He made us so grateful for the people He has placed around us. Just, and every one of us has something to give. You can invest in anyone's life. Whether you just came to Christ or you've been a believer for 10 years, you have something to give to someone else. You can invest into someone else's life. Okay. Let's close our eyes. Let's almost stand as well. I'll close our eyes. Father, You're amazing, Lord, and now, Father, we just want to thank You for tonight, Father. Thank You for fellowship, Father. Thank You for awesome people in this town, Father. Thank You that we can be here in Secunda, Father. Thank You that this is an awesome town, Father. Father, we would not want to be anywhere else but here, because this is where You placed us, Father. And we thank You, Father, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You that You've placed us in Secunda, Father. That You've planted us here, Father. Thank You for the people that You've surrounded us with, Father. Yes, Lord, and if you, while the eyes are closed, if you feel that maybe you're a bit of a moaner, and you came into this year, you came to Secunda with a bit of a, yeah, we'll see how it goes, attitude. Just raise your hand quickly. I'm not going to call you forward or anything, just as a sign to the Lord. Amen. Father, You see those hands, Father. You see their hearts, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You're going to open their eyes, Lord, to every blessing in their lives, Father. That You're going to open their eyes, Father, for the reason why You have placed them here, Father. And that they're going to get excited, Father, because You've placed them here, Father. They're going to be excited for the calling You've placed on their lives, Father. Here in Secunda, Lord. Father, You're going to change our mourning into dancing, Father, as the song says. And I pray that over each and every one here today, Father. Thank You, Father, as we leave, going to leave this place, Father, that we're going to have thankful hearts, Lord, grateful hearts for where You have placed us, Father. Giving You all the honor, all the glory, Father, for the people that You've placed around us, Father, for the place where You've got a job, Lord, working at Sasol, Lord, and being in Secunda, Father. But yes, Lord, we just thank You, Father, that every good and perfect gift is from You. And thank You that we can be in this town, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.